Lord, I appreciate the manner in which you've led us in these songs and the songs that you've selected. It's a blessing for us to be assembled on this Lord's Day and to worship God in spirit and in truth. Very thankful for the number that we have this morning. 156 is our attendance this Lord's Day morning. We're grateful for your presence. Hope that you'll come back and be with us at 3 o'clock this afternoon. We're going to take a look at some characters from the Bible who exhibit different qualities of leadership. As we are in the process of appointing additional elders here, we're going to this afternoon take a look at leadership and what it consists of according to the scriptures. Also, there are a couple of articles in the bulletin today about elders and about the eldership. I don't plan on giving us a solid diet of just eldership studies for the next few weeks, but it is something that's on our mind, and so we're going to take advantage of different avenues of teaching to remind us of some things pertaining to the eldership. Last week we announced that we are going to begin the process of finding and appointing additional elders. We studied God's plan for leadership in the local church, and we looked at the work that God has given elders to do. In that sermon, we said that today we would look more closely at the procedure that we are going to use to search for and appoint these men to serve as elders alongside John Sellers and Mike Heppner. I want to point out a number of things as we go through our study today. The sermon is going to be a little bit different than other sermons that we usually have. I want it to be understood that we are not seeking to find replacements for either one of our elders. Instead, we are finding men who will serve alongside them and with them. This process of looking for additional elders has begun with the blessing of Brother Sellers and Brother Heppner, and it will continue to be so. We are looking to appoint as many qualified men as we have. We're not looking to hit a certain quota. However many men are qualified, that's as many men as we are going to appoint. And if we go through this process and discover that we do not have any qualified men here at Knollwood at this time, we will not be appointing any additional elders. It's that simple. When we talk about appointing elders, we need to realize that we are stepping into an area in which we have a command without a procedure. And what I mean by that is the Bible teaches that elders are to be appointed in every local church. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 23, Paul and Barnabas appointed elders in every church. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul told the evangelist Titus to appoint elders in every city. So we know elders are to be appointed in the church, but we're not told exactly how this is to be done. Now we do read in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 that the Holy Spirit makes men elders. The Holy Spirit makes men overseers. Let's read that verse, Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, the Apostle Paul speaking to the elders of the church in Ephesus. He says, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood." The Holy Spirit makes men overseers or elders by giving forth the qualifications set forth in the Word of God. However, these men must be appointed to serve in that capacity. And the Bible doesn't tell us exactly how to go about that. You see, when God tells us to do something and then tells us exactly how it is to be done, we have a pattern that we must follow. Think about baptism. We have several accounts of baptism in the New Testament. We have the teaching found in Romans chapter 6 that baptism is a burial in water. And so when we baptize, we have that pattern to dip someone or to immerse someone in the water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins after they've made their confession of faith. And there's a pattern there that we must follow. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, as we did a few moments ago, we have a pattern to follow. The Lord, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread. and then took the fruit of the vine, and we follow that pattern. But we don't have a specific pattern set forth in the New Testament for appointing elders. Where there is a command, but no specified procedure, then we are left to our judgment to determine just exactly how we need to go about doing this in a way that does not violate any other command of Scripture. We're told that it's to be done, but we're not told exactly how it is to be done. However, there are some principles set forth in Scripture I want us to look at, and then there is a procedure we find in the Bible, and I want us to look at that as well. But notice first with me that there are some principles that we need to follow as we go forward with the process of finding and appointing additional elders. Some principles that we need to follow as we do this. Number one, we know that the local church must be put in order. That's what Paul told Titus to do, to set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city. Titus 1 verse 5. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, just a couple of verses after Paul has talked about elders and deacons, Paul tells Timothy, "But if I am delayed, I write that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." You see, it's not just doing whatever you want to do in the local church. The local church must be put in order. And that includes appointing qualified men to serve as elders and as deacons. And that's what we're trying, to do here. We know also that all things are to be done by the authority of Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, Colossians 3 verse 17, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." In the name of means by the authority of. We have to have authority for what we're doing here in searching for and appointing additional elders. And everything has to be done by the authority of Christ. Where it is specific, we have to follow exactly what has been set forth. Where there is the command to appoint elders, we have to find the best way to go about obeying that command without violating any other scriptures. We know also another principle that we especially need to follow. We need to follow in all things, but especially when we're looking for elders and appointing elders, is that we do everything without partiality. With no partiality, with no preference. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and at verse 21 says that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. When it comes time to for an evangelist to appoint elders in a local church, it's not a time for him to do his buddies a favor and appoint his friends to this kind of a position. It's not a time for him to overlook the faults and the disqualifications that are in people. It's not a time for him to look for and try to find disqualifications in those who are qualified. It is a time to take what the Scripture says, apply it to the men, and find those who truly are qualified to serve, and appoint those men who are qualified to serve. But all of us need to be abiding by that rule, not just the evangelists. All of us need to be doing this without partiality. We know from 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31 that all things are to be done to the glory of God. And God is glorified in the church. Ephesians chapter 3 tells us. And part of that is by the leadership that God has set forth in the local church, the elders and the deacons. God is glorified if we appoint qualified men to serve in this capacity. God is not glorified if we fail to do so, or if we appoint unqualified men to serve. So there's much at stake here. God must be glorified, not only in appointing the right people, but doing it in the right manner, in a godly manner, conducting ourselves as children of God who act out of love toward one another. And we also know in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 40 that all things are to be done decently and in order. In order for that to be carried out, a method has to be used. There has to be a method, there has to be a procedure that we can all understand so that we know what's going on, so we understand what we're doing from this point forward. So all those principles apply, and we need to keep them in mind, not just as we listen to this sermon, but in the weeks that lie ahead. As I said, we're not told exactly how to appoint elders, but we do have a procedure that we can use as a pattern. And I would like for you to open to Acts chapter 6. In Acts chapter 6, we're going to read verses 1 through 7. Here the church had grown to the point that they were beginning to have some problems, and the apostles realized that they needed some help. Acts chapter 6, let's read verses 1 through 7. Now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12, and that would be the apostles, then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Notice there are 3 things that are mentioned in verse 3 of this chapter, which serve as a good pattern for any local church to follow in appointing elders or deacons. Number 1, notice that the members were told to select men from among themselves who would be appointed to this work. And so the whole congregation was involved in this matter. The apostles didn't handpick these individuals, and thus we see that it was not the work of Titus or Timothy to handpick these individuals, but rather the pattern is that the entire congregation be involved in selecting these individuals. The apostles gave them qualifications that these men had to meet. We read of those here in verse 3. So they couldn't just go pick anyone. They had to pick individuals that met specific qualifications. And then after these men were chosen, the apostles would appoint them to their work. That's the closest thing that we have in the Bible of a pattern or a procedure for us to use to appoint individuals to serve in a particular work or a particular office in the local church. And that's exactly what we're going to be doing in the weeks that lie ahead. We're going to have clear and in-depth studying on the qualifications of elders. After that is over, the members here are going to select the men that they believe meet these qualifications. And then myself, the evangelist, will appoint these men to serve alongside Mike Kepner and John Sellers. This process is necessary because the fact that men meet the qualifications to serve as elders does not make them elders. You see, the men have to be selected and they have to be appointed. And so that is the procedure that we are going to use. I turn your attention to the front page of the bulletin. If you haven't gotten a copy of one, you'll probably want to. And I encourage you to keep a hold of it. Put it in your Bible and use it as a reference, if you will, for the weeks that lie ahead. I've tried to make some extra copies. If we run out, we can always make more. But on the front page of the bulletin, I've printed out what we're looking at here. We've got the procedure that we are going to follow in appointing additional elders here. The next 2 Sunday mornings, we are going to have in-depth studies on the qualifications of elders. Now, you know I am not of a practice of wearing out the church when it comes to preaching long sermons. But I will say this, we are not going to skip over these verses. We're going to take the time that we need to look at these qualifications. This is important. So I want you to be aware of that. In the Sundays that we're studying the qualifications of elders, we're not going to rush through the sermon and get it done real quick. We're going to take our time and we're going to look at what the Bible says about this subject. Due to previous commitments that I have, and the elders are aware of this, I'm going to be out of town the weeks of May 10th and May 17th. I'm holding a gospel meeting in Fort Worth, Texas, and I've added a vacation week onto that to allow for some travel. Calm down, Paige. We'll be in Texas before long. That's what happens when you act out, and I can see. We're a little bit excited about the trip, but we're also excited about what we're doing here at Knollwood. But we're going to be gone for a couple of weeks, and that's something that has been planned. It involves another congregation. The elders know about this. So those 2 weeks, I'm going to be out of town. The following Sunday, May 24th, we're going to have the third and final sermon on the qualifications of elders. Now, those following 2 weeks, May 31st and June 7th, would be the appropriate time for you as members to submit the names of the men that you have selected to serve as elders here. After we hear the qualifications and study the qualifications, then it's time to select. And so for that 2 week span would be the appropriate time for you to submit the names of the members here, the men here that you believe are qualified to serve. On June the 14th, if everything goes as planned, on Sunday, June the 14th, the names of these individuals will be announced to the congregation. And that will begin a time in which you have the opportunity, if you have a scriptural objection to any of these men, to get that resolved and get that worked out. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But names will be announced on Sunday, June the 14th. However long it takes for us to get through that process of working out objections, as soon as we get that done, the additional elders, if there are any men remaining who are qualified, will be appointed as soon as possible. Now, we're not in a race to get through this. We don't want it to drag out forever, but at the same time, we don't want to rush through it and do something wrong. And so this is the plan that we have in mind as we move ahead. You've got it in the bulletin. Hang on to that. Keep a hold of it. You know what's going on. If you have any questions about this, come and see me. Talk with me. I'd be glad to answer any questions you have and make sure that you understand just exactly what is going on. I want to talk for just a moment about the selecting process and also the objections. I'll say nominations, or we read in the scripture about selecting the men. The men that we select who we believe fit these qualifications. I want to talk about that for just a moment. I want you to hear me as we go through it and make these points. When it's time for you to submit the names of the men that you believe are qualified to serve as elders, you have to do that in writing. And you have to give them to me. Walking by me on the way out to service is saying, "Hey, I think so-and-so would be a good elder." Well, that's nice, but that's not a nomination. Put it in writing and attach your name to it and hand it to me. Now, the elders are going to be involved. They're going to know the names that have been submitted, but give it to me. Give the names to me. Also, I want you to understand that this is in no way tallying up numbers for individuals. There will be no tallying of nominations to see who has the most votes. We do not vote in the Lord's church. I had one person just this last week talk about, when do we vote on this? We don't vote on this. This process we're talking about is not a vote. An individual who has just one nomination or just has been given to me just once is going to be given just as much consideration as somebody whose name has been submitted a number of times. The number of times they're submitted doesn't matter. I want us to understand that. When these names are given to me, as these names are given to me, I will contact these individuals and I will talk to them and ask them if they wish to take part in this process. if they desire the work. And if they do, we'll proceed. And if they don't, their names will be removed from consideration. If a man's name has been submitted who does not meet the qualifications, and I hate to say this, and I hope you prove me wrong, but even after looking at the qualifications in depth, it seems there's always somebody's name who's submitted who obviously doesn't meet the qualifications. If that is the case, I'll talk to that individual. If necessary, the elders and I will talk to that individual. Let them know their name was submitted, but help them to understand that they're not qualified to serve. And the reason I say that, the reason I make these last two points, is that you'll submit some names, and then on the 14th of June, you won't hear them announced. And I want you to understand why. It may be that I go and talk to that individual, they remove their name from consideration. It may be you've submitted somebody who is not qualified to serve, and thus their name isn't even going to be considered as we go through the process. And I just want you to understand that. To clear up some of that, here's a suggestion. Go to these individuals you're thinking about first and ask them whether or not they desire to serve before you even submit their name unto me. Go to them and ask them if they desire to serve. And if they don't, then don't submit their name. How about the objections? What about when we get up on the 14th of June and we read off some names and one of them you don't think is qualified to serve? What are you supposed to do? Well, here's what you're supposed to do. The objections that you have, you need to give them to me in writing. And you need to sign those objections. No anonymous objections are going to be accepted and acted upon. And you need to understand this as well. Only scriptural objections are going to be considered. We talk about this process, and we talk about, well, maybe someone's name is brought up and you don't like the person. Well, we need to get over that. We're God's people. We need to get over that. But there may be some reasons that one would give for preferring that a person not serve as an elder. Well, you can have your preferences if you would like, but when it comes time for objections, I'm going to need a book, chapter, and verse. You're going to need to tell me what scripture you're using as the basis for your objection. And it needs to be in writing. Needs to be given to me in writing. Now what I would suggest, what the elders here would suggest, is that before you even bring it to me, you go to that person yourself and you work it out with that person. The men who are serving as elders, or who would be considered to serve as elders, have to be men who are approachable. And if we can't approach them as we're going through the process of selecting them and appointing them, how are we going to approach them as elders when they're serving as elders? So go to the individual and work this out between the two of you. And if that cannot be worked out, then submit it to me in writing. As I said, we're not going to rush through this process. We will allow ample time for those who have serious scriptural objections to get them resolved. Something else that I want you to understand is that if you submit a scriptural objection, there's a good chance that the person you're objecting against is going to see that. You can't do it anonymously. And I bring that up because I went through this process before. An individual made an objection and then just became unglued when they found out that we took that objection to the person. They didn't want them to know about that and know it came from them. Well, we're not in junior high. We don't do things like that. These matters are going to be resolved. They're going to be worked through and they're going to be resolved. So just know that sooner or later, you're likely going to have to come face to face with this individual and work this thing out. And that's why I say it's best if you go and you do it first and get the matter resolved without it ever having to come to me or come to the elders here. You may have some other thoughts and some other questions that go along with selecting the men. And when it's time taking care of objections, come to me and talk with me about that, and I'd be glad to answer any questions that you have. But just so you know,
have an idea of what's going on. You've got the time frame, the schedule, and the bulletin. You know when it's time to submit names, you need to go talk to them first, and you need to write them down and submit them to me in writing. When they're read off, if you have objections, go work it out with that person first. If it can't be resolved, then write it down, put the scriptures there, sign it, get it to me in a timely manner, and it'll be resolved. And after all that is done, if we have those who are still remaining, they will be appointed to serve as elders in a Sunday morning assembly like we are having here this morning. I will say this. If a member here knows of a reason that someone who is selected should not be appointed to serve, they know for a fact that they do not meet the qualifications, it is their duty as a Christian and as a member of this local congregation to let it be made known. Because there's worse things than not having elders. And that's having unqualified elders. And so if you do truly know of a reason someone is not qualified, that needs to be addressed. And I will be glad to work with you with a matter like that. I won't resent it, won't have a problem with it at all. Brethren, a very serious matter is before us. It has not been rushed into, and it will not be rushed through. We need to proceed with diligent prayer. We need to go forward acting out of love and respect for God, for His Word, and for one another. And we need to proceed with a commitment to accomplish only those things that are going to build up the church and that are going to glorify God. I thank you for your kind attention. And again, if you have any questions at all, don't hesitate to let me know. I realize that this sermon, as well as many of these that are going to have to do with the eldership, are not designed and are not preached foremost purpose of eliciting a response to the gospel. But we don't apologize for that. We have an important work that we have to do in appointing elders. We need to take time like this, in this assembly, to talk about these matters and make sure that we're doing this in a scriptural way. But the invitation of Jesus Christ always sounds forth from heaven. It always sounds forth from the Word of God. Come unto me, Jesus says. Maybe that's what you need to do this morning. Maybe you're at a point in your life where you realize that you need God in your life, that you're ready to confess your faith in Christ, to repent of your sins, and let us baptize you so those sins can be washed away and you can be a child of God. Maybe as a Christian, you've wandered from the faith and you're ready to come back home. Maybe you're burdened and you need our prayers. Whatever your need is, this is an appropriate time and appropriate occasion for you to let that need be made known, and let us help you with it. Please come forward as together we stand and sing this song.